He is risen. He is risen indeed. Friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Happy Easter. Thank you for joining us here online for our second year in a row. Welcome to this glorious celebration of the first Easter morning. We are thrilled that you are able to join us. A little later in the service, we will be having communion. So if you need to pause this recording to make ready your bread or cracker and wine or juice, why don't you do that now? Would you please join me in our call to worship today? Christ has risen. He is risen indeed. God is alive. New birth is given. Hope is alive. A new age is dawning. Joy is alive. Redemption is here. Love is alive. Death cannot harm us. We are alive. New life is within us. The church is alive. God's Spirit is within us. Let us celebrate the God of resurrection. And let us pray. Beautiful risen Christ, you come to us in unexpected places, in a crowded room, in a journey on a dusty road, in conversation, in the stillness. You come in the midst of our doubt, our fear, our sorrow. You come in the power of the resurrection, having finished once and for all the work of reconciling your people to God. No pain and suffering is unknown to you. We rejoice again at the enormity of your sacrifice, even though it is still largely a mystery to us. We trust in your word, for it has proven true time and again. Lord, we welcome you again in all your glory into the sanctuary of our hearts, where we pray you live and reign forever. Amen.
Our scripture reading for this Easter morning is the story of two disciples encountering Jesus on the road to Emmaus. We find it in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. We'll be reading from verses 13 through 35. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told him what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of Christ.
It's a privilege this morning to invite you to say with me one of the ancient creeds of the Church Universal. Please join with me in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, where he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Happy Easter to you. He is risen, and aren't we all so grateful that he is? You know, living with a preacher is not an easy task. God bless our spouses. It's particularly not easy on weeks like this one as we prepare for and approach Easter Sunday. In the Christian church and for Christian preachers, this is our big day, and so there's lots of thought that goes into the preparations for today. That was certainly true in our house, and bless him, my husband Simon has patiently listened through all of that. But finally, one day last week, perhaps he'd reached the end, and fair enough, he said to me, "Diane, why don't you just say, he is risen? And even in the events of this last year, he is still risen." Needless to say, Simon is probably right. And many of you may be thinking right now, "Gosh, Diane, I hope this time you listen to him." Because it is true. The single most important message I can bring to you today is simply that Jesus Christ is risen and he remains risen. Period. So if you leave this time of worship today with nothing else, I pray that it might be that incredible truth and the incredible hope that it brings with it. But come on, it's Easter Sunday, and it's my first Easter Sunday as your minister. And this is a passage that is particularly close to my heart. And so fast forward if you must, but I can't just stop there. I've got a bit more to say today. I love this story, and part of why I love it is because I recognize some of what happened for those two people Jesus met on the road that day. While my own experience is not nearly as dramatic, I did have a similar experience of finally being able to see the truth in the story of Jesus, and realizing that when I saw it that way, I then saw him in a whole new way. And honestly, I became quite captivated by him. When that happened for me, my heart really did kind of burn within me with a desire to pursue Jesus more and to pursue the life that I sensed there was around him. In some ways, it was a little bit like what we've just heard happening for those two disciples on the road that day. Over the course of this story, Cleopas and his unnamed companion end up doing a dramatic, emotional, and literal U-turn. They start out distraught and downcast. We can almost picture them with their heads hung low and looks of sorrow and confusion on their faces as they made their way back to Emmaus from Jerusalem. They, along with Jesus' other friends and followers, had given up. But in the time that they spent talking with this stranger, who they eventually realize is actually the resurrected Jesus, all that changes completely. Their sorrow and despair turns to joy. And they turn around and they head right back to Jerusalem that night. They can't wait to tell the others what's happened and to share this hope that has burst forth within them, a hope that is changing everything. Remember, until the risen Christ started appearing to his followers, these two, along with everyone else, thought that Jesus had lost, that his mission had failed. They'd hoped that he had come to defeat the Romans and set Israel free. But those hopes had been horribly dashed as he died on the cross. But as you listen to Jesus talk with these two, as they're walking with him along the road, you can hear how he reframes it all for them. He doesn't change the actual events, but he completely changes their interpretation of them. He shows them that his death is not a sign that things have gone terribly wrong. It was actually the way that things were finally being made right. He took them through the whole biblical story and helped them to see that it was always going to happen this way. The prophets had foretold it. Jesus himself had tried to prepare his disciples for it. It was always going to be this way. The real truth was that his mission was not derailed when he was killed. It had actually gone exactly as planned. It had had to happen that way, because as they began to realize, Jesus' mission was much bigger and much more far-reaching than anyone could have ever anticipated. He wasn't just defeating the Romans. He was defeating death. And as he explained all of this to them, I can imagine that their hearts started to stir, that hope started to grow. Was it possible what he was saying was true? Was it possible that God hadn't given up, but that all of this was actually part of a larger story that was still unfolding? As we heard, their hearts were burning within them with the desire to hear more. And so they ask him to stay with them. And he does. And in that, as they came to the table with him for a meal, as they would have done so many times before. Suddenly they recognize him. It was Jesus, alive and well. And they knew that all that he had been saying was true. This amazing thing they were a part of wasn't over, far from it. It was only just beginning. And so, not surprisingly, they drop everything and they go straight back to Jerusalem to tell the others, Jesus is alive, and they had been with him. Can you feel the movement within them? That movement from despair to hope, from sorrow to joy, inexplicable joy, that is actually the movement of Easter. It comes as we realize that our deepest hopes have been fulfilled when Jesus left that tomb. It comes as we look into the face of the risen Christ and dare to believe what he's bidding us to, that death in all of its forms, with all of the pain and the despair that it brings, it cannot stand against the life and the hope that rose on that first Easter morning. It cannot. When Jesus came to his followers, to these two, and to the more than 500 who are reported to have seen him, he showed them that there truly was life on the other side of the cross. That's why Simon was quite right when he urged me to just say, he is risen and he is still risen. It is the most important thing. And the implications of that incredible truth are far further reaching than we can comprehend or even anticipate. One of the cores of our Christian belief is that on the cross, the battle between good and evil that have been playing out since virtually the beginning of time, that battle was fought and the outcome was determined for all time. When Jesus came out of the tomb alive, the world was given physical proof that God's mission of restoring life to his good creation will prevail, and evil and death won't. In Jesus' resurrection, we have the assurance that God wins. And it wasn't just winning for the sake of winning. God won for our sakes and for the sake of all of his creation. And God has secured that life for us using the single most powerful force there is, love. God loves us so much that Jesus gave himself in death for us. God's love was the reason for it all. And that love was also the only way that battle could be won. Jesus' sacrifice of himself on the cross was the single biggest act of self-giving love this world has ever seen. And the fact that Jesus was resurrected after that horrific death, the fact that he emerged from that tomb alive after he had been dead, that shows us what love like that can really do. It was for love that Jesus died, and it was with love that Jesus defeated death and rose to life. Love like this, love like the love Jesus shows us, it is both his reason and his way. And it is the love that will actually lead us to that promise of life free from death that is the great hope that we proclaim as Jesus' people. It is the hope that we see dawning in Cleopas and his friend as they walked with Jesus on the road that day. It is the hope that I pray is dawning anew within you, even now. Today, We are invited by the Spirit of Christ, who is in our midst right now, to once again take hold, firm hold of this hope we have, that life will prevail, because God's love never fails. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is ours, friends, today and every day. Amen.
Please join with me in this time of prayer by responding to my petition, O Risen One, by saying, "Hear our prayer." Let us pray. This news, this story of Jesus Christ raised from the dead, still shocks us. Dead, entombed, but now alive. Even 2 millennia after the fact, we are staggered and puzzled and still trying to make sense of it all. But we do know that it is good news, very good news. For if death no longer holds you, Jesus, then it no longer need hold us, and we have a future. We always have a future, and so we can only celebrate this morning. We thank you for this most glorious news, this astounding story of Easter, this demonstration that life will win over death, and that where we once had only resignation and despair, we now have hope. Help us, O Lord, to see signs of your rising in our lives, that we might see that which is good and holy, and that we might demonstrate integrity and truthfulness and caring in this world that you breathed into being. O Risen One, hear our prayer. We remember on this great day of victory your church around the world, praying for all your followers in this community, and remembering to you especially that peculiar category who call themselves united, here and throughout our country. O Risen One, hear our prayer. We pray this fine morning for our hurting world and ask for wisdom and compassion that in whatever ways we're able, we each might be healers of this community's pain and injustice. O Risen One, hear our prayer. We remember all the children and men and women who wander our world as exiles and refugees, who have not enough to eat, who have been left homeless by war, by famine. Spur us to respond to their need. O Risen One, hear our prayer. On this day of triumph, we continue to be aware of the struggles that remain. And so we lift to you family, friends, members of our community who are grieving. Grieving the loss of loved ones, grieving the loss of relationships, grieving the loss of employment, grieving the loss of ability. Grant each comfort, hope, and the glimpse of new life. O Risen One, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick amongst us, here and elsewhere. We pray for their healing. O Risen One, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for our province, our country, and all around the world who are struggling with the consequences of the pandemic. We ask that you would give us all the strength we need to persevere in the days that still lie before us. O Risen One, hear our prayer. We pray that in this Easter season, we may glimpse you, O Christ, in every person we encounter. and help us to live fully into the good news of this glorious day. O risen one, hear our prayer. All these prayers we offer to you in your name, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
We've just heard a story of Jesus gathered again at a table with his friends, and how at that table they recognized him. And I guess if I have one prayer for us as we gather for communion on this Easter Sunday, it is that in doing so, in all of the places where we are, you might have a sense of Jesus' presence with you today. So welcome to his table. He is here. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right for us to give thanks and praise.
Almighty One, it is truly right to glorify you and to give you thanks. For you alone are God, living and true, dwelling in light, inaccessible from before time and forever. Fountain of all life and source of all goodness, you made all things and fill them with your blessing. You created them to rejoice in the splendor of your radiance. Countless throngs of angels stand before you to serve you night and day, and beholding the glory of your presence, they offer you unceasing praise. Joining with them and giving voice to every creature under heaven, we glorify your name and lift our voices in joyful praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, whom you sent to save us. He came with healing in his touch and was wounded for our sins. He came with mercy in his voice and was mocked as one despised. He came with peace in his heart and met with violence and death. By your power, he broke free from the prison of the tomb, and at his command, the gates of hell were opened. The one who was dead now lives. The one who humbled himself is raised to rule over all creation, the Lamb upon the throne. The one ascended on high is with us always as he promised. At his last supper, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. And now let's say together the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, "This is the body of Christ, and it was broken for you." "And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for you." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. And so we say thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you now to consume this holy meal in the places where you are with the people you are with, or on your own with Jesus with you. Let's say together the prayer after communion. God, in deep gratitude for this moment, for this meal, and for the people we share it with near and far, we give ourselves to you. Take us out to live as changed people, because we have shared the living bread and cannot remain the same. Ask much of us. Expect much from us, enable much by us, encourage many through us. So, loving one, may we live to your glory, both as inhabitants of earth and citizens of the kingdom Jesus came, died, and rose to bring. Amen.
Your tithes and gifts to the work and ministry of St. Stephen's are very gratefully received. Let's pray together, dedicating these gifts to God. Risen One, like the disciples at Emmaus, we offer what we have. They offered their company, their table, their bread. We invite you to be with us as we offer you our love, our devotion, and these gifts. May our eyes be opened to your holy presence, now and always. Amen.
I have just two announcements for us on this Easter Sunday. The first is a reminder that we are in the midst of our congregational treasure hunt, Easter weekend treasure hunt. I hope that you may have already had a chance to take part in that yesterday, but if you haven't, please remember you've got all day today. So get out there and hunt those treasures and spend some time connecting in interesting ways with our congregational life once again. So we hope you will enjoy that treasure hunt. We look forward to hearing your stories of how it was for you. As well, I want to remind everybody that we have a spring work bee coming up to work in the gardens and do spring cleanup. It's next Saturday on the 10th between 2 and 5 p.m. If you are able to come and share some of your energies, bring a mask and perhaps a rake and your gardening gloves, and we will find something for you to do. And we really are hoping that many hands will make light work.
Sisters and brothers, we have celebrated the glorious mystery of Christ's death and resurrection. So let us go forth rejoicing in the knowledge that Jesus is alive. Today we look to the future, to the new dawn of Eastertide. So let us go and live as people bathed in the light of resurrection. Today we remember when creation was made new, when God showed humanity its destiny. So let us go as people living in the knowledge that through the triumph of Jesus over death, the gates of heaven have been opened. And may God raise you from death to life, from brokenness to perfect health. May Christ Jesus cast out your fear and doubt, and may the Holy Spirit give your heart joy as bread and wine give your body life. Go now in peace, friends, to love and serve the risen Christ. Amen. And happy Easter.